Good morning. I don't have the page number in the Bible, sorry about that. But today's reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Marilyn. I forgot to mention earlier, too, you may have noticed I got braces on this week. So I'm trying to enunciate clearly, but just bear with me as I figure out how to talk with these things on. Lord, thank you for your word, which is so precious and instructive to us. Help us to pay attention to what you are saying today at a heart level. Help us to come to this passage and this time with an eager mind and an eager heart to hear what you have to say for us. And help me to speak truth, to speak clearly, and to encourage those here. In Jesus' name, amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 if you haven't already. It's near the end of the New Testament, so after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company, you can remember that. Then it's 1 Thessalonians. We're taking a break from the Gospel of Mark for the rest of July because I just want to share something that's fresh on my mind and heart. Let me start with a story. I attended a pastor's group last Tuesday morning to pray. Every first and third Tuesday, I meet with a group of pastors from Franklin County. We pray and encourage each other. So this day, I had dropped off the kids at Collins Purley for the FCA camp, and I got some coffee, and I went down to Trinity Presbyterian Church where we meet. And as I walked into the room, I noticed the regulars there, Jeff and Dan, and Sean, and Seth. And then I saw this new person that I didn't recognize. He introduced himself as Denis. He's a Quebecois man who is friends with Jeff Cornwell, who preached here last week. And he had been invited to come and join our group for the day. So he was this tall, broad-chested man, about 70, with very French-Canadian features and accent. We did introductions, and when it came time for Denis to introduce himself, he began sharing about his life with God. He has been a missionary overseas. He has been a church planter in Quebec. He has been a retreat leader, a spiritual father to people, just a very unique person. And as he was speaking, I could just tell this guy is the real deal. Like, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is overflowing with the love of the Father. And something inside me kind of like woke up from a nap. Like, oh yeah, this is real. Jesus is alive. The kingdom is expanding. God is here. Among us. Do you ever have moments like that? where something happens, maybe it's a song you're listening to or a person you're talking with or a scripture you're reading, and it's just like, oh, that's right. These aren't just ideas. This is real. God is real. It's like you're waking up again. The Bible tells us in many places to be awake, to stay awake, to not fall asleep. So I want to ask you this morning, are you awake? Are you awake? Now, sometimes when I'm preaching, I could look at and ask that, and a few people might not be able to say they're fully awake. But I mean, are you spiritually awake? Are you aware and alert to the spiritual realities in which we live that the Bible talks about? Are you awake? The Bible tells us in many places to be awake. The Psalms say it. Jesus says it. Paul says it. Peter says it. This passage in 1 Thessalonians is a prime example where Paul is writing to this church in the city of Thessalonica in modern-day Greece. It's actually a very large city in the Roman Empire. And this is one of the very first things, first letters that survive anyway, that we have that Paul wrote. Probably less than 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And he's reminding these Christians in this passage to stay awake, to stay alert, to remember the hope they have in Christ. So what I want to do is look at this passage and break this down for a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes, and then I want to tell you some stories. Because for me, the thing that wakes me up is stories of what God is doing in the world. So let's look at this passage, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. Notice the contrasts here between two different states of being. Day, night, light, dark, awake, asleep, sober, drunk. And I believe he's talking about not necessarily physical intoxication, although that contributes to our spiritual stupor, but are we in our right minds thinking about God, or are we intoxicated by the things of this world? In verses 1 through 3, Paul reminds these Christians that Jesus will come back. They've been asking him, when is Jesus going to come back? And he says, basically, you don't need to know that. None of us knows that. But here's what you need to know. He will come back. And when he does, it will be dramatic and even traumatic for those who don't trust in him. But he's quick to reassure them in verse 4, it won't be like that for you, because look, you brothers and sisters, verse 4, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Right? It's not like you're in a dark room and when someone comes and turns on the lights, you're surprised that there's something else besides the darkness. We believe in the light. We live in the light. And so when Jesus comes back, it will be to receive us and to save us, not to judge us. Paul says again, verse 4, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. Right? And in verse 9, he says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, and here Paul means dead or alive, euphemistically, we may live together with him. What a comfort that because as believers we are children of the light, we have nothing to fear when the ultimate light comes and the ultimate reality is exposed, right? So here and now, what do we do? How do we live into that reality? Paul tells us in verse 6, "So then, let us not be like the others, people who don't believe, who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Stay awake. Stay sober-minded about reality. A few years ago, I had surgery to remove some wisdom teeth that had never been taken out when I was younger. Now, the dentist gave me some drugs to take, and for that day, I felt a little bit what it might be like to be a drug user. Because I took a few pills before the appointment, as they told me, and then I got there and took another, and then they gave me this mask that had nitrous oxide flowing in it. So I don't remember anything that happened after that, and I guess that was the whole point. But I got home, I staggered upstairs, I was saying gibberish to Meg and the kids. I crashed onto my bed. I didn't know which end was up. I didn't know if I was awake or asleep. I was trying to text people and sending like random memes of dogs making funny faces. Meg confiscated my phone. I'll just take that. And so for the rest of that day, I was just out of it. I didn't know what was real, what was not. It's possible to go through life like that spiritually, to be drugged or intoxicated or drowsy by things in this world. Whether it's being filled with anxiety and that's all you can focus on, or getting caught up in politics and the kingdoms of this world, thinking that's what it's all about, or money and pleasure and comfort, or other forms of spirituality that tell us, you know, we need to seek divine energy through special stones and chants. And, you know, there's a million types of spiritual drugs. And we need to be awake and alert and sober-minded. I wonder what it is that tempts you to fall asleep. It's easier sometimes, isn't it, just to check out, just to turn on the TV and turn into a zombie for a while. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment in its place. But I mean, sometimes we just check out of our relationship with God. We fall asleep. We need to wake up. Are you awake? Are you awake? Paul says, "Let us be awake and sober." So are you awake to the power of the gospel? The reality of life in the Spirit, the presence of God in you, the reality of the kingdom of God growing in the world. Do you remember who you are as children of the light? Are you awake? I don't know about you, but one thing that helps me stay awake to the reality of the gospel is to hear stories about the kingdom and God at work. To remember, oh yeah, that is reality, right? What we see and experience here is not all there is. There's a greater reality. So I want to tell you a few stories. Last summer, I had the opportunity to travel to Croatia and Bosnia and Czech Republic. In one city in Croatia, I met this Croatian pastor named Mario. We got talking and realized we were both pastors of small Baptist churches. Excuse me. Mario told me that as a young man growing up in Croatia, he was the typical secular, live for yourself, live for pleasure kind of guy. He met an American on vacation in Croatia. They got married. He moved to the States with her to pursue the American dream. And he did pretty well for a while. But all the while, he just felt this spiritual vacuum inside him, the emptiness of living for himself. His marriage was a disaster. Things were not going well. Until, by chance one day, he walked into a church in Pennsylvania. He heard the gospel, and he was saved. He gave his life to Christ. His life was transformed. His marriage was transformed. He wound up having a few kids. He became a pretty successful person. He was a manager of a Panera Bread in Pennsylvania. They had a nice house in suburban Pennsylvania. And after about 10 years of this, he started to realize God has more for me than just to live here being successful and comfortable and safe. God called him back to Croatia. He said, God said to him, I want you to come back and reach your people. Croatia is a very, very few Christians in Croatia. So a few years ago, he moved back with his family. Now he pastors a small Baptist church right on the coast. And he was so fired up about what God is doing in that place. I have a picture of him here, the next slide, that he sent me after I got back. That's Mario with two people he had just baptized in the Adriatic Sea. And when I met him and heard these stories, I remembered, we serve a God of the nations. The kingdom of God is here and moving. By the way, if you want to hear more about what God is doing in Croatia, a little commercial here. Some of our friends who we met there, not this man, but a couple named Dalibor and Judita Kralik, will be here in 2 weeks. They won't be in church, sadly, but they'll be staying with us for a few days. And anyone who would like to meet them is invited to our house on August 2nd at 5 p.m. for a barbecue. Just, they're really cool people. If you want to meet them and just hear about their lives and what God is doing, talk to me for more info. Let me share another story about God's work to show you that Jesus is real. This is true. This comes from Darren Carlson, a pastor in Montana who also is involved with missions. A friend of mine, he writes, a friend of mine tells of a Persian migrant, Persia is like Iran, who arrived at a refugee center at 6 a.m., visibly upset. He told his story to a Persian pastor. He said, during the night, he saw someone dressed in white raise his hand and say, stand up and follow me. The Persian man said, who are you? The man in white replied, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the way to heaven. No one can go to the Father except through me. So he began to ask the Persian pastor, who is he? What am I going to do? Why did he ask me to follow him? How shall I? Tell me. In response, the pastor held out a Bible and said, have you seen this before? No, he said. Do you know what it is? No. The pastor then opened to the book of Revelation and read the words of Jesus, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The man started crying and said, how can I accept him? How can I follow him? So the pastor led him in prayer and peace came over him. The pastor then gave the man a Bible and told him to hide it since Muslims in the camps could cause him trouble. But the man replied, the Jesus that I met today is more powerful than the Muslims in the camp. He left and an hour later returned with 10 more Persians and told the pastor, these people want a Bible. Right? You see, Jesus is real and alive and at work. Are you awake to this reality? One more story closer to home. A colleague of mine named Fred Little is a pastor at the Community Church of Huntington. But the fact that he's a pastor at all, let alone at that church, is a miracle of God. Excuse me. You see, Fred grew up in Huntington, kind of a troublemaker. He didn't know Jesus. As a young man, he got into a situation where he wound up taking the life of another young man, whose mother was a leader at the church in Huntington, Community Church of Huntington. Fred was convicted and sent to Northwestern Correctional Facility, and that's where actually some people in our church intersect with him, because we used to work with an organization called the Church at Prison. And so the Akins, Everest and Shirley were involved, Dick was involved. Lorinda, were you part of that? No. Others probably were involved. While Fred was in prison, people came to minister to him with the gospel. One particular person, a little old lady in her late 80s from St. Albans, came in, the only one that the guards didn't make walk through the metal detector. And she came up to Fred and grabbed him by the shirt, pulled him close and said, "Jesus died for you. And here's how you can believe in him." And guess what? Fred gave his life to Christ. He started reading his Bible and growing in his faith and going to the church in the prison. After a while, he started taking correspondence courses to study for ministry, of all things. This little old lady died. He was granted a pass to go to her funeral. He walked into the church in chains, literally, handcuffs, chains, jumpsuit. And he stood up in the service and said, "What you see here today, that I'm in chains, but I am free in Christ. And it's because of this woman." Years go by. He goes through a reconciliation process with the family whose son he killed. More years go by. He gets released on good behavior and paroled. He's working at Rhino Foods in Burlington, South Burlington. He has a dream that he's standing in front of the church in Huntington, and a man comes out and hands him an application and says, "We need a pastor." He wakes up and is like, "What was that about?" He wasn't even thinking of being a pastor. A few days later, someone calls him and says, "Hi, this is so-and-so from the community church in Huntington. We heard that you were training for ministry and wonder if you would help us with pulpit supply, because we don't have a pastor now." So he did. A few months later, they said, "Would you please apply for this position?" And eventually, he was convinced to apply, and now he's been the pastor there, at the very church in the community where he murdered someone. Only Jesus can write a story like that. This is real. This is true. Jesus is alive. Are you awake? And it's not all just dramatic things. We see the kingdom at work in so many ways around us if we are alert and have eyes to see. I wonder how you have seen God at work. And I want to invite you now to, actually for 3 minutes, if you have something to share, turn to someone next to you and share a brief testimony of how you've seen God at work, how you've seen the kingdom moving. Ready, set, go. Okay, take a few more seconds to finish up if you need to. I wish I had time to hear everything that was shared, but it will just have to be between you for now. God is at work. Are we awake? When I hear stories of God working, I remember, yes, that's the kind of life I want to live. I want to live by the power of the Spirit. I want indestructible hope in Christ. I want to follow Jesus come hell or high water. I want to live for him. And we go through times where, you know, the spiritual fervor ebbs and flows, but by God's grace, let's stay awake to the power and the reality of God. Maybe by chance you've been sitting here thinking or watching online thinking, I've never tasted that. I don't know this kingdom of God that you're talking about. Well, you can. In this passage, Paul talks about people who are asleep, who don't know the gospel, but Jesus came to wake people up. Jesus came to make us sons and daughters of the light. And so he's inviting you today to trust in him, to live for him, to be appointed for salvation, as the text says, to enter his kingdom of love. All you have to do is talk to him honestly about your life, confess your sin to him, ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. And if you want to talk more about that with me, I would be more than happy. So one final question, not to discuss, but to think about. How would you live differently if you were fully awake to the power and the presence of God? What risks would you take? What prayers would you pray? What sins would you flee from? What people would you seek out to serve and to love? What plans would you make? What plans would you cancel? What would you spend your money on? What hopes and dreams would fill your mind? I want to close with the words of an old hymn that came to mind this week that can help us stay awake. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if you know it, say it with me. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.